gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com, check it out. You can email us all there, executive producer, Chris LaVoie, voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. All right, post-debate day, I'm in the magical afterglow.
Did you like it?
Whatever. David Bender, we did what we normally do. We drank and we heckled Republicans at my house. Mm-hmm. And he will be joining us live in studio here.
Yes,
about half an hour or so.
I would have thrown something at your TV again, so it's good.
I know. That's why you've never been invited. No, Jim's invited back. He's just not invited for television events.
He's not allowed to hold magazines.
Not allowed in the living room.
Potential projectiles.
Yeah. Debates, Super Bowl, Oscars.
I thought you
Oscars,
threw a water
no.
bottle at
yeah.
the TV.
No, no. Okay. That was just a magazine.
Oh,
a water
sure.
bottle would have done some actual damage.
Yes.
Right. Magazines don't make good projectiles.
Yeah, that's back when plasma TVs cost $10,000.
He only gets invited to the guitar parties where he can, you know, use his pretty boy,
shred.
Play harmonicas
right.
and stuff. Here, Jim, you hold this.
Okay, you hold this. What? What does that mean?
I don't. You have to be at my house. All right. I got an instrument you can hold. All right.
There. When was the last time you said that to a guy?
Jim was at my house. Right. Just now. it's weird, isn't it? Like every debate has a different sort of tenor to it.
Mm-hmm.
So they were sort of sitting this time, like Catholic school boys.
Yeah, they looked like they were in detention.
Extra Catholic in Santorum's Frothy's case.
Well, yeah.
It wasn't me, it was him. I didn't do it.
They weren't so Catholic that they didn't have ashes on their forehead.
I noticed that last
yes.
night.
Yes. Yeah, mm-hmm. What's up with that?
I know.
You're so vain.
You're so vain.
Yeah.
Probably think this song is about you.
I guess it's so relative this year. They're sort of saying, I guess Mitt won. I don't know, because Santorum didn't do great. And I don't know, Newty's trying to be nice Newty now. He tries out a different Newt every debate, which I love.
Yeah.
He's either angry attack muffin or...
I love candy and flowers.
Frankly.
But it was all stuff that they've talked about before. They seem bored talking about it.
Yeah.
I just thought it was kind of a useless debate.
Yeah.
Well, the last 72 debates have been pretty useless, actually.
The other thing somebody was saying I think is true is that Mitt Romney's good at attacking, I guess. You know, they were saying he did put Santorum on the defensive a lot about his record in Congress, and, you know, so Santorum didn't come off well, but Romney doesn't come off like he's... has anything positive to offer.
Right.
He's just good at, whether it's attack ads or in person, it's like, oh, well, I guess he's good at, you know, ha-ha, gotcha. So
I didn't think there was anything too terribly gotcha last night, except for maybe, you know, John King asked Ron Paul, why did you call Rick Santorum fake? Ron Paul said, because he is fake.
Exactly, the only moments of truthiness are Ron Paul.
Right, so, that was the best part of the debate last night, and that was kind of minor.
Yeah, all right. Oh, look, he's here. My goodness, we found him.
Carl.
Carl Frisch. Exciting. WholeFightStrategies.com.
So inviting to me.
Frisch. Good morning, Carl Frisch.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. What's your first take on the debate?
Well, they're getting more and more boring, if you ask me.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, I mean, if Newt Gingrich isn't going to explode into a ball of fire and drop our socks, then there's no point in having any more of these.
So what's the point? They're losing their entertainment value as the clown car thins out, right?
Yeah.
Oh, they've never offered anything of substance, mind you.
Yeah.
So, I've been watching it as my own reality show.
Yeah.
Like Republican Survivor.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess and who knows what the common wisdom is this year, but the Romney won, I guess.
Yeah, was anybody voted off the island last night?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if, you know, they used to say, like, if nobody scores, like, a death blow to Romney, then Romney wins just by not messing up.
Right.
I don't know if that's true anymore. You know, Romney needs to start killing some other candidates.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if Romney doesn't win his home state of Michigan or Arizona, where there's a, you know, there's a sizable Mormon population, right?
Frankly, I believe that if Romney doesn't win Arizona, then he should be sent back to Mexico.
Ah, yeah. See what you did there, Carl.
You're a scamp. I see you tweeting a tweet celebrating over Governor Martinez losing her hairstylist over her marriage equality position.
In New Mexico.
Do not piss off the gays. As someone said the last time Sarah Palin was on TV, she needs to get her gays back. Her hair looks awful.
Yeah, she drove the last gay out of Wasilla.
But that's what happens when you spend like an hour and a half pacing in a hallway, like coming up with crazy conspiracy theories.
Yeah, exactly. Spending time on moose. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we, Carl Frisch? Rush Limbaugh on the Republican primary.
Of the two men, Rick Santorum and Barack Obama, there's only one that is a threat to religious liberty. Who do you think that is? Think it's Santorum? You think Santorum is a threat to your religious liberty? If you do, you are wrong. Mm. Barack Obama has already shown that he is a threat to religious liberty.
Ah. Well, unless you happen to be one of the 45 million Christians that Rick Santorum just excommunicated in that last speech by saying they're not the right kind of Christians.
Rick Santorum's not good for religious people. He's not good for the non-religious. He's not good for people that enjoy sex. He's not good for people that don't enjoy sex. He's not good for just about anything. I mean, except for maybe the sweater vest industry.
Yes. Yes.
He's not good for the sleeve industry. We know that much.
Yeah. I love that he's running as the, authentic candidate. It's like, you know, he keeps going, no, I back up what I'm saying. It's just, well, yeah, but you're saying a lot of crazy seriously, just in the last few days.
He's certifiably, loony. What I find fascinating, you know, his logo, even for his campaign, looks like something that maybe John Ashcroft drew in, like, a psychedelic drug trip while, like, writing the words to that song that he used to sing. You know, let the eagle soar.
Yeah.
It's just craziness.
Yeah.
Let the eagle soar like she's never soared before.
Republican men. Sucky singers. What have we learned?
Walk around like a tribute band.
By the way, President Obama busting out the blues.
Yeah, we're going to have that a little bit later on in the
show. Singing again yesterday.
Yep.
Slam dunk.
Buddy Guy put him up to it.
You know, he better not get any ideas here. This is like an alternative, occupation he can pursue.
He is the voice. All right, Steve Ducey, Fox and Friends.
Meanwhile, the White House says they're doing everything possible to deal with rising oil prices. But what about that pesky Keystone XL pipeline?
No.
Wouldn't that help?
The price of the pump would drop tomorrow.
No, it would not. That's been debunked ages ago, Steve
but
Ducey.
But it would poison the Oglala Aquifer, which supplies drinking water to 7 states, or possibly 8.
And, it would create lots of jobs in Korea and Canada.
Canada, yeah.
Yeah.
So. And India, where they, put the steel together.
Yes. All right. Do you think the president would do it just for that reason? Jimmy loves the Ferners so much, according to the right wing.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Frank Luntz, the Rick Santorum rally?
Yeah.
I want your forgiveness here, because normally I get up and I crack jokes. I would stand up here and tell you that I actually have a Run Barack Run bumper sticker, but I put it on the front of my car. That's the normal stuff that I do.
Ha ha ha, that's another funny joke.
That's almost
about
as funny as
the president. Killing the president.
That's almost as funny as the signs they put up in Dallas about trying JFK for treason.
Well, he's just loosening up the crowd before he gets them to, like, be a proxy for Fox News' hatred of the American people and the president.
Mm. Hmm. All right. That was, that one winded me a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was. Okay, Elizabeth Hasselbeck on The View.
I don't think, I think there are times to dance.
Dr. Clinton Nixon, we're in the same category.
Wait a minute, you don't like that President Obama had a good time.
He's got a great voice, he's got a great sense of humor, we've had him here, we know he's quite personable. I just think you should not be singing and having fun until gas prices are lower and people are getting jobs.
I know that you think that.
I already have a headache. After
How could you watch that?
Jeez.
I'm a girl, and I heard just clucking chickens.
Yeah. But did you hear what Elizabeth Hasselbeck said?
Like, I don't think anybody should have fun or, do anything enjoyable until everybody has their jobs back.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like she shouldn't be allowed on television until that's the case.
Yeah. Wow. That's, I got to give you extra props for watching that, Chris.
Yeah, thanks.
That takes
thanks.
A strong man.
Wow.
That was nuts.
Oi.
Okay, Greg Gutt. Oh, boy. Greg Gutfield on the five. I'm going to guess something racist, probably.
Sure. Okay. This is a very old, cliched argument. Pro-life doesn't mean you have to provide the life from cradle to grave services for somebody who was born. Blacks, 33% of abortions.
That didn't
they're 13% of the population. Racists would love that statistic. And he's defending that statistic. He should get a medal from the KKK.
Oh, I see what he did there. Yeah. He made the president of races because he's hoping to abort more black.
I do know if he wanted to eliminate all crime.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Bill Bennett.
Yeah, I mean, it's no different than Bill Bennett or any of these other right-wingers who have said that, you know, white people are, you know, killing all these black babies because of abortion.
Right.
It's another reason that he shouldn't be allowed on television, though. He was just apologizing the other day for saying something crazy on TV, you know, saying that Whitney Houston needed to put down the crack pipe. I'm beginning to think that, you know, he is the television personification of Rush Limbaugh, where there may not be race on its face in every issue, but he will search out a way to bring it in.
Yeah. Well, by the way, what Carl's referring to, because it was particularly egregious, is he, right after Whitney Houston's death, compared Congresswoman Maxine Waters to her. He said, you know, Congresswoman, you know, and it was about the budget or something, right? Or whatever.
Yeah, something banal.
He just said, you know, Whitney Houston, back away from the crack pipe. And it's to a United States Congresswoman? Really?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just...
Well, I mean, you act like they would have any respect for these people at all on that network. They have absolutely none. I mean, it's not built to have respect for members of Congress, or certainly not liberal or Democratic members of Congress. It's built to tear them down personally, professionally, at any cost.
Yeah, I mean, it's gotten so bad, Carl, and I have to, you know, you have to give it up for, you know, people like Maxine Waters and others. They just don't even dignify it with a response anymore. It's just gotten so ugly over there, you know?
Well, at a certain point, you just shouldn't. I mean, until, you know, Bill O'Reilly sends his goons after you with their cameras, and then, of course, there's only one solution for that, and that's talking about the Long Island Police Department that he paid to follow his wife.
Right. Oh, Carl, you scamp, you get that in every time.
Or the woman that he sexually harassed years ago, Andrew Macris.
Yes.
That's the only solution when his goons come with their cameras after you.
Yes, absolutely.
Because you know they're not going to put that on television.
All right, you're relegated to the penalty box sidecar for that scampery.
Yes, but we'll be back with him after the break.
We cannot talk enough about this.
Well.
The guy Bill O'Reilly's life was banging. Okay, 18
we talked about that too.
18 minutes after the hour. Right back with Carl Frisch and the rest of Right Wing World on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is the dirtiest show I have ever been on in all of my life.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Yes, it is the Stephanie Miller Show, 25 minutes after the hour. Joanna in Chicago. Hey, Joanna, welcome.
Hello. I wanted to let you know that I bought tickets for your show on March 3rd.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Chicago Theater, March 3rd, Sexy Liberal. Very exciting.
Oh, I can't do the meet and greet because I just don't have the money thanks to Bush tax cuts, you know, before and screwing up my life.
There's a good chance I'll grope you anyway. Yeah.
You're still going
to
get.
My husband adores you.
I may adore him physically. There's always a good chance of that if you're in,
possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I may repel up into the
look for the leprechaun up front.
I may repel up into the balcony to sexually harass people as well.
Awesome.
Okay. Awesome. We'll see you there. It's March 3rd.
Thanks.
Okay. Yay.
And even if you don't get the meet and greet, you still have an awesome evening of entertainment.
It really is. Yep. It's going to be the biggest Sexy Liberal Show ever. It's 3,500 seats, and we're this close to sell out.
Wow.
Chicago Blues All Stars backing us up again. It's going to be. Sweet. All right.
Off the chain?
As the kids are saying.
No, they really don't say that. Or will it be off the hook?
Something. Okay, Carl Frisch is back. Hello.
Right. And I would second the fact that the Sexy Liberal Tour is so much fun to attend.
Oh, Carl Frisch, thank you. Yes. At the Minneapolis show.
That's right. And if you bring your camera,
yes,
there's a chance that it might end up in Steph's pants.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, there's a very good chance of that.
Oh, boy.
All right.
Does that mean you should put a condom on your camera or something?
Yeah.
I wouldn't bring a big household.
Somebody wrote and said, I hear the show is a tad bit raunchy. I'm like, a tad?
Yeah.
It's pure raunch.
I wouldn't bring,
but I amp it up a little bit.
I wouldn't bring a big Hasselblad camera with a big lens.
No.
That'd be overkill.
Ouch. Okay. Let's finish up our right-wing world. We saved the best for last. It's dessert for you. It's some right-wing comedy with Dennis Miller.
Mm. To me, out of all the things we spend on, to move a 2-ton object 30 miles for $4 is, I don't know, it's not the worst deal you get. That being said, if I had to blame anybody, I would blame, obviously, the environmentalists. It's so silly that, look at North Dakota, look at Canada. All you got to do is tap in. We've got Alaska just sitting up there. We don't do anything with it.
What?
Mm. You know what? People used to pay to watch Dennis Miller do stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
I think from this point forward, it should be official that he has to pay us to listen to him.
Weren't they on the road? Speaking of right-wing comedy, wasn't it O'Reilly and Dennis
O'Reilly
Miller?
Dennis Miller.
$500 for a meet-and-greet ticket.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was called One Big Joke.
Yikes.
I don't know if they sold any tickets.
Yeah, don't know about
at that.
At that
price. Holy
yeah.
cow.
Mm-hmm.
You would not believe how much security turned out for their Long Island tour date.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah. Tons of security.
And were these cops that were...
Internal Affairs actually showed up to talk to him about his pending case concerning his wife.
Why, Carl, what are you referring to?
A little-known story that Gawker's been all over about how the Long Island Police Department was used by Bill O'Reilly to follow the man that Bill O'Reilly's wife was having an affair with.
Oh, my goodness.
And have an internal investigation against him.
Oh, my goodness. Carl, I never heard you mention that. Thanks for bringing it up again.
Did you know that he had an affair with his producer?
I did. Uh-huh. Yes, I heard that. All right. Thank you, Carl Frisch, for all that breaking news. See you next week.
Have a good one.
All right. All right. You too. Bye-bye.
And he did it live.
I haven't heard that.
Do it live. I'll write it, and we'll do it live.
Carl in Nashville.
Ooh, thing sucks.
Yeah, boy, howdy. Carl in Nashville, real quick. Hey, Carl.
Listen, you know what? First of all, it's two things that I got from last night. One, I got to bring in my own breaking news. Dun, 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 dun.
Thank you. Go ahead.
They said Bush name 2 or 3 times. I could not believe that a Republican utter Lord Baltimore's name.
Yep.
They said it 2 or 3 times in the debate. I was like,
yikes, they are really getting desperate. All right, wait, second point after the break, and David Bender as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm
Stephanie Miller.
I have enormous psychological problems, and I'm going to take them out on you.
Oh, heavens.
That's pretty much the whole show.
Many people that know me shaking their heads sadly. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800. Don't you give me that look. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. All right. Carl in Tennessee was finishing up some points about the debate last night. Hi, Carl.
Hey, thank you very much.
Yes.
First of all, if you've never been to Chicago Theater, you're going to enjoy it. It's a beautiful old place. That's where I'm originally from.
Yeah, I have. We played it. That was the first theater I walked on stage and went, I am in way over my head here.
Yeah.
No, this is our first return show. We played last year.
Wow, yeah. And, you know,
it's awesome.
You know, the most tragic thing about that place that at one time it housed Superman 3.
Oh, God.
Really?
Yeah,
okay.
Really. I saw it there.
Yeah, so right? So how badly can I suck in relation to that, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, listen, the second thing that I took from the debate is I noticed that those hypocrites on stage, two of them in particular, supposed to be holier-than-thou Catholics, and they didn't have the ash on their head. And
right.
Then it dawned on me that the irony of all ironies, the Republican Party has been stoking xenophobia and racism in this country for about 50 or 60 years now, and the evangelicals here in the South have to vote for, get this, their candidate is either going to be one of two Catholics, which they think is not a Christianity, or a Mormon, which they think is not Christianity. So they're going to be stuck having to vote for two guys that they don't believe are real Christians, three guys that they don't believe are real Christians against a Christian president.
Yeah.
That irony is absolutely fantastic.
You know, for the first time, you know, Carl, for the first time yesterday, somebody, a Santorum guy, even went on record saying, why aren't you talking about Romney's Mormonism? Why does my guy have to answer questions? What about the underpants over there? He literally said it. Why aren't you asking him about his Mormonism?
And I called into two of our local Republican stations around here, and I brought up the fact that the bigger picture was missed when Romney was talking about the devil attack in America, war with America, in that he also said that it infiltrated the Protestant church. So, in fact, he's dissing the evangelicals here, and, of course, they didn't want to hear that. But
yep.
it's something that they have to deal with, and I'm enjoying watching them deal with. This is what you get for the past 50 years of stoking xenophobia and racism in your party. You have to deal with this now.
Yep, absolutely. All right, Carl. Thank you, honey. Appreciate it. Well, you know, like the wacky sitcom Neighbor, you heard the door slam. Now you need your sitcom theme. I know you hate it. David Bender, our buddy, our pal. All right, that's enough. Hello, David Bender.
Hello, it's me.
Oh, sorry,
Fred
I meant to do that. Sorry. That was not a sound effect. That was a door slam.
That was a door slam.
Why? Because you were drinking with me last night.
I'm Fred Mertz. I'm the guy who just walks in and says, "Hey, does someone need their plumbing fixed?"
In fact, I do.
In fact, you do. But we won't go into that. Oh, what a day it is.
You are a funny man to watch debates with.
Well, I don't throw things at your television like Jim Ward, which means I get invited back. although, Jim, if you threw the wine bottle, actually, that's a twofer.
He is a PT, may I just say, which is a political tease.
Oh,
because
yeah.
he watches a debate with you, and he's like, well, here's what I think. But I won't tell you till the morning.
No.
Like, come on, Bender, you're drinking crappy wine.
Let's go.
And
that's the whole point. That allows me to be completely.
By the way, can I reveal this? The crappy wine that you drink?
Yeah, of course you can.
Moscato.
I just think I'm gonna buy.
And I always know it's him. He puts the crappy bottle of wine over the gate. I'm like, oh, Bender's here.
it's sort of my greeting card. The wine is as sweet as you are, Stephanie.
Oh, it's precious.
And here's what was so astonishing about last night.
Yeah.
Is that absolutely nothing happened for 2 hours. except John King, yet again. Now, remember John King at the last debate where Newt Gingrich went after him.
Yeah.
And ripped him
and
several.
And lied to him. Yes.
And lied to him and ripped him several new Orify. out of one of those, when Mitt Romney refused to answer his question, what is people's greatest misconception about you, Governor Romney?
I'm running for president, for Pete's sake. I can't say anything negative about myself.
I can't talk about that. His actual answer was, I don't have to answer that question.
Right.
I get to answer the questions
that I hear in my head.
That I hear in my head. And what did John King say to that? Does anyone remember?
Fair enough.
He said, fair enough.
We'll have to leave it there.
No. Wolf Blitzer would have actually gone after him. Wolf Blitzer, give him credit. He is everything that we know him to be, but at least he wouldn't have let Mitt Romney get away with that. John King allowed him to say, I don't have to
speech.
Answer the questions.
Well, because you know the thing people say about him, that he's a flip-flopper, but he doesn't have to say. He might have said
it. That's a misconception, but I've been consistently this, and this.
Consistently inconsistent.
What we saw was the arrogance of Mitt Romney.
What
we saw was, and John King not challenging
Listen,
that.
You're just the help. I don't need to answer
Exactly
that.
Right. What he might have said, had he been John King, or had you been there,
right.
or had any human been there, said, you know what, Governor? Yes, you do have to answer the question.
Yeah.
That's the purpose of these exercises.
Yeah.
You're right.
I hadn't thought of it that way, but if you look at it that way, it is just more really extremely arrogant than anything else.
That's exactly what it,
you know,
and that's what we saw.
That this whole, process of how long it's taking for the coronation is really irritating him. The help is just not cooperating.
Well, let's talk about the help and how they are cooperating. The help was on the stage. One of the things that we're now seeing and we're learning is that Ron Paul has been very friendly to Mitt Romney throughout this process. They actually are personal friends. They like each other.
Mm-hmm.
And Ron Paul, every time somebody is getting traction against Mitt Romney, Ron Paul goes on the air.
Goes after that person.
And goes after that person. He did it on stage with Santorum. He did it, actually, he's been doing it on the air with ads against Santorum. And that, and Chris, you pointed out that was that moment, the fake moment. Well, guess what?
Right.
This is not an accident. I don't know if Ron Paul is going to be head of the Federal Reserve in a Romney administration.
And take a Gallagher mallet to it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is the job I've always wanted. Thank you for that.
That's the sound of the Federal Reserve being destroyed.
Wow.
Seems like it would make somewhat less cartoony sound.
I think that was Alan Greenspan falling into his tub.
Andrea!
Help!
I can't get up. What should I do about interest rates?
The economy's crashed and I can't get up.
Here's what I didn't tell you last night through all of the Moscato.
PT
as it was.
Political tease.
PT 109. Here's what it was. The real thing that you had to see last night, if you're reading between the lines, was that Newt Gingrich, not once, not twice, but three times, said, "I agree with Governor Romney." Now, that is not something that he is used to doing. You haven't seen him do that before. Why is Newt Gingrich still there? He is out of money. He is waiting for one check from one guy, Sheldon Adelson.
Yep.
And
David, did you hear it seriously said he's thinking about putting $100 million more?
I've heard all of these rumors, but here's the point. Actually, the number I heard was another $10 million, doubling down on the $10 million he and his wife have put in already. But
I could have been drinking and seeing triple.
There
you
it
know
is.
Me.
It's that extra
all
digit
right.
that manifests magically. But here's what we have to follow the numbers, right? So if, in fact, Sheldon Adelson is the only thing that's keeping Newt Gingrich in, and Sheldon Adelson has already said he'd be happy if Mitt Romney is the nominee, he would support him as well. So Newt Gingrich's presence in this race, only made possible by Sheldon Adelson, who says he likes Mitt Romney, allows...
Yeah, I heard when they asked the, Iran question, I think I heard Gingrich's sphincter snap shut, because he was like, oh, God, I hope I'm saying exactly what Sheldon wants.
Exactly, and you heard...
Blow up Iran? Is that the only answer?
Do we have a ka-ching sound? Because there it is. That's the $10 million answer. 64,000. No, $10 million answer for Newt Gingrich. He gets the other check.
Right.
And here's what happens. He stays in the race. He gets his 12 to 15% that comes all from Santorum. And who wins Arizona and Michigan if Newt stays in?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, interesting. Hey, I hope this is true. It's probably not. Maybe it's. But tell me if anyone else saw this. Maybe this is a joke. Pax says, about 47 minutes into the debate, the camera cuts. Somebody had a frothy Santorum sign.
I heard that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that a joke?
Frothy
they write. Google it. Way to go, Steph. Oh, if that's true, I would be the happiest girl.
I heard it too. Yeah.
That's
really?
Hilarious.
Oh, God, I love my listeners so much. You are so immature.
They may have given their life for a joke.
Did you hear someone called in the other day and told this story? There was a bunch of people in a bar in Minneapolis, and Santorum came on the TV screen, and they all started singing Frothy Santorum. A bunch of stuff heads.
You realize,
in
of course,
bar.
Now it will become a mixed drink somewhere.
I'd like a Frothy Santorum, please.
There it is.
No way!
Yeah.
Oh, God, we got to put that up on our Facebook, right?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay.
On our face Twitter page, our Twiddle Plus page.
If I could jump out of the radio and grope every single one of my listeners for that, whoever that was, I love you. Call me.
I love radio groping. Radio
all right.
groping.
The Bender is with us all morning, and we have an exciting announcement about a thing we can't really even announce anything about.
Right. It's a tease.
Sure.
Hmm.
I can't even refer to what I'm referring to.
Another
That's
tease.
That's some huge, as Donald Trump would say,
huge
news for the Stephanie Miller
Is
Show.
Is Donald Trump doing commercials for Mitt in Michigan, Jim Ward?
Yes. We'll talk about that after the break.
Oh,
I'm
wow.
trying to do a tease. 45 minutes after the, you ought to know as a PT. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Not bad. Like Frisbee golf, I'm glad I tried it once.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey now.
You're an all-star. Get your game on. Go play.
Stephanie Miller.
You're a rock star. Get the show on. Get paid.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. David Bender, political strategist extraordinaire, live in studio with us all 3 hours. And I guess we can make an announcement that's about an announcement that might happen at some other point, but that we can't announce now, but that is huge, as Donald Trump would say once again.
Huge.
Thank you.
Huge. What have you just said there?
It's like a Mitt Romney answer.
It's a Rick Santorum answer.
I'm not going to make an announcement the way you think it would be an announcement.
Yeah.
It's a pre-announcement. David Bender will be filling in for us all next week. We are taking our vacation early because of some huge,
huge
news for the Stephanie Miller Show.
Huge.
March is going to be
huge
for the Stephanie Miller Show. We can't tell you why yet. Ha ha. Nah, 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 nah. Well, and I can't even refer to what I'm referring to because otherwise
it's not
out
happen.
Yet. Yeah. Yes.
Otherwise, you're fired.
Yes.
Jen, can you do that?
You're fired.
There we go. And as
Miller
I said,
in my office.
Before the break, Jim Ward, I think it's not been Donald Trump doing it. You've been making calls for Mitt Romney in Michigan, right? It's been your voice.
That's me all the time. Yeah. Mitt Romney's going to be huge. Huge. Yep.
Yeah, how irritating would that be to get a Trump robocall? Oh, Julian Seattle says, ring, ring, hello, Donald Trump calling for the least authentic man in the world, Mitt Romney, to save Rick Santorum is a big fake. Yes, beginning, was it yesterday? They'll be hearing people in Michigan hearing from the Donald in form of a robocall. And Mitt Romney's happy, says he slams Santorum as someone who doesn't know about creating jobs and is completely entrenched in the Washington culture. I'm tired of Rick Santorum pretending he's some kind of D.C. outsider. Oh, did you hear that? Santorum yesterday said he was, even when he was inside, he was outside. Yeah. He was an outsider even when he was inside.
It is convoluted. Here's the exact...
Oh, and you said he had a John Kerry-esque moment last night.
He had an exact quote. John Kerry, remember, famously was for something before he was against it. He got hammered during the election and not on cheap wine. He just, over and over again, they kept going after him for his windsurfing flip-flopping. Here's exactly what Rick Santorum said last night. He was talking about Title 20, which included family planning and contraception, and he said, and I'm quoting here, I was making it clear, while I have a personal moral objection to it, even though I don't support it, that I voted for bills that included it. By the end of that, yeah, exactly. There was a lot of that.
So he was against it before he was for it.
That's exactly right.
Sure.
And big boos from the audience in Arizona.
I was for it. Why not?
Yes, and Santorum got booed a few times.
Did.
Yeah.
It was a Romney audience. There's no question. And he even acknowledged that. What was interesting is Santorum, which is unusual for a candidate, went into the spin room afterwards. He went into the whole, you know, crush of reporters and said, what's going on with Mitt Romney and Ron Paul? He actually called them out. He said, there's a bromance here. They're ganging up on me.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Poor Rick Santorum feeling vulnerable. And it did look to me, I have to be honest, as if he was a deer in headlights. He did not have a game plan for being. This is the first time he was Paul Lynde. This is the first time he was in the center square, right?
I'm vaguely uncomfortable. Paying attention.
It was not a good moment for him.
Can you get an elephant drunk?
Yes,
but he still won't come up to your apartment.
Sammy.
That's a Republican joke, isn't it?
Warren in Washington, and now for a frothy joke. Hello, Warren.
Yes, a frothy Santorum drink must be a Kahlua and cream with whipped cream on top, and of course a cherry on top of that to practice abstinence.
That sounds like something I'd
everyone
like,
can,
actually.
Everyone can play.
That sounds tasty.
Very sweet. Yeah.
All right. Renee in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Renee.
Hey, Steph. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, sorry to be a little bit behind in this news, but apparently I missed it. But that Bob Morris guy in Indiana's got to go.
Oh, he's the one that sussed out the Satanism in the Girl Scouts.
Right, right. He pulled his kids out of the Girl Scouts because of his personal feelings.
Yes, because they're clearly a radical communist lesbian organization.
You know, that's how I got my start in all this, in the Girl Scouts.
Yes.
I got all my communist and lesbian training in the Girl Scouts.
Sure. Wait a minute.
They have a badge for that.
The anti-gay Girl Scouts promotes lesbian Satanism?
Apparently. Yeah.
How does that work?
Communism? Like, I don't know. I can't remember. What else,
well,
Jim?
Well, it's not gay if it's chicks.
They're a tactical unit of Planned Parenthood, according to this Republican guy in Indiana. Okay. Amy, somebody sent me a great picture. Have you seen the picture of the little girl looking at the camera? There's a house on fire behind her. And it says, because next time you'll buy the cookies. Amy in Massachusetts. Hi, Amy.
Hi, Steph. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. I just want to ask, why nobody's talking about climate change when it's Massachusetts and it's 60 degrees here?
Yeah, that's unusual.
I don't understand. I'm wearing, you know, loafers with no socks right now, and I should be in like 3 feet of snow.
Well-known climate scientist Sean Hannity to be on that, I'm sure, later.
And last year when we got like 20,000 feet of snow, they were like, "Well,
it's
like 60 degrees. We've gotten like 2 inches."
Yeah.
I mean, this is just ridiculous. I don't get it. I just don't understand. And I'm not knocking it.
Yep.
I'm not knocking it.
I know.
You know, I'm liking this weather. I'm liking this. I moved it from California. Loving it.
Yeah. Kathleen Madigan said that last week on the show that because her circulation is so bad from smoking, she doesn't care about climate change. She wants it warmer.
I know it's going to do something bad to the environment, and I'm like, hey, I'm not knocking it, but this is something wrong. Something's not right here.
This is
not right.
Thanks, Amy. So, all right. Appreciate it. All right. Yeah. Kathleen Madigan was like, she said, screw my nieces. Aunt Kathleen was cold. I don't care about climate change.
Did Mitt Romney do that when he was governor? He warmed up the state of...
That's probably what it was. Yeah.
That's the only warmth that ever emanated from Mitt.
Wait, so do we have this we were talking about? This really was a moment of, like, breathtaking arrogance, wasn't it? When did Romney say, I'm not going to answer that question, or I'll answer whatever questions I want? Do we have that?
Let me...
Carry the four divided by... Hold, please. Everybody talk amongst themselves.
Please stand by.
Please stand by. The Stephanie Miller Show. Okay, here we go. And... See.
We've got to restore America's promise in this country, where people know that with hard work and education that they're going to be secure and prosperous and that their kids will have a brighter future than they've had. For that to happen, we're going to have dramatic fundamental change in Washington, D.C. We're going to have to create more jobs, have less debt, and shrink the size of government. I'm the only person in this race.
Is there a misconception about you? The question is a misconception.
You get to ask the questions you want. I get to give the answers I want.
Fair enough.
Fair enough. Well, that's
fair
a new
enough.
Paradigm for,
yeah. okay,
for interviews.
Enough. You just talk. I'll just sit over here.
Wow. That's a whole new paradigm for interviews, for debates.
It's unbelievable how wimpy John King was. I mean, I know you had Stephanie.
He's hunky.
That's what she said last night. Stephanie said, he's a hunk.
It really is like watching stuff with a straight chick. I'm like, he's a hunk.
To watch him let
big and
Mitt Romney
dumb.
Get
like
away with that was...
He is not dumb. I beg your pardon. We've had John King on this program.
I know, he's not dumb.
I've met him in person. He's delightful.
He is a good reporter. He didn't show it.
He has the bluest eyes and the longest eyelashes I've ever seen on a man.
There we go again. Here it is.
All right, I understand.
Let's judge
he
the
shouldn't have let him.
Not the substance, shall we? And Mitt Romney is cute. What does that get us?
58 minutes after. It gets us 58 minutes after the hour. And we return with Bender next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
I am not going to tease David Brock. I am anti-bullying, as you know. That's what the right wing did. That's why he was blinded by the right. Oh, David Brock's coming up on the show. Oh, it's a radio tease.
That
I get
kind
a clever body.
It's a different...
Oh, like the tease I did last hour about the huge, huge announcement for the Stephanie Miller Show that's coming up, I don't know, sometime. Who can say? Okay.
Come on. You are the tease.
6 minutes after the, you know what it is. David Bender filling in for us all next week. We had to take our vacation early because of huge breaking news for the Stephanie Miller show that we can't talk about.
Which isn't breaking.
Well, we can, or we'd have to kill you.
Or we'd be broken.
Yes. We will be broken if we break
this
the news
is
too
the
early.
Boston Tease Party. That's what
yes.
it is.
Nah. David Brock, president of Media Matters, coming up next hour. Talk about his new book, Fascinating, The Fox Effect.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So StephanieMiller.com, the website. Oh, check it out, the Stephanie Miller Show Facebook page. Mm-hmm. Somebody really did have a frothy Santorum sign at the CNN debate.
That's so great.
Ah, I love my listeners so much. Oh, by the way, somebody told me, this is thieved directly from John Fugelsang, sexy liberal, who talked about this on the show 2 days ago. Someone thieved it from him. See what happens when you announce things on the Stephanie Miller Show? Then you can't have nice things. Everything's
you get
ruined.
Thieved.
Gawker, website converts the souls of deceased Mormons into the gay souls of deceased Mormons.
Nah.
John Fugelsang was going to do it. He said it right here. Gawker breaking the news, a handful of Mormons, the Mormon they call Romney specifically, have been in hot water for supposedly performing proxy baptisms on Jews who died in the Holocaust. But with the advent of a new website aptly named All Dead Mormons Are Now Gay, you can perform your own proxy conversion and turn a deceased Mormon into a gay one. Simply enter the name of the dearly departed Mormon of your choice, select convert, and voila, thy ghost hath been converted into a homosexual.
I'm not a theological expert, but is it that ex post bapto?
I don't know. Actually, I think John's going one step further, isn't he, Jim? I think he's going to gay marry dead Mormons.
Yes.
So
posthumously.
Yeah. All right. So we'll take that as an homage to sexy liberal John Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show, and then all right, he'll still go ahead with his idea. Jeff in Minneapolis. Hey, Jim. Remember we talked about that? Chris, what is he? Oh, he's a right wing talk show host in Houston.
Yeah.
And he got in a hit and run.
Oh.
Outside a gay bar.
Huh.
Yep. You ready for it? The right-wing radio host said he only went into the gay bar for a drink.
Uh-huh. Sure.
So there for beer. Right.
Maybe it was a different kind of hit and run he was involved in.
He was there for the frothy. They served that.
He said
in
that
those
he
bars.
Stopped off for a beer. A beer at a well-known gay bar
sure.
in Houston.
Uh-huh.
Right.
It's
a manly drink, beer.
Sure.
He just, beer. That's was the best place to get a beer.
Or
and then
Singapore Sling.
And then he supposedly crashed his truck into a bouncer's car and caused $1,500 of damage.
Hmm. So someone was rear-ended? Is that
yes,
what
yes. Mm. Someone was rear-ended right outside. Wow. Inside the bar that he probably didn't even know was a gay bar because he
sure.
was just there for the beer.
Who would know these things?
Mm, yeah. Beer. It's good.
Hmm, there are no women here. Interesting. Shirtless weird. Waiters. That is
weird.
Your first clue.
Yeah.
Guys in jockstraps.
Let's salute him with
weird.
The beer song, because it is. It's a straight, manly drink. Good for you.
Oh, what is the malted liquor? What gets you drunk or quicker? What comes in bottles or in cans?
Beer!
Can't get enough of it.
Beer.
How we really love it.
Beer.
Makes me think I'm a man.
Yay!
Beer. I could kiss and hug it.
Beer.
But I'd rather chuck it.
Beer.
Got my belly out to here.
Beer.
I could not refuse it.
Beer.
I could really use it.
Beer.
Beer. Beer.
Gay beer. Okay. Okay. All right. Chris is in Atlanta, right? It's a solicitor comedy, Chris. Because, you know, Rick Santorum, as you know, ever since the surge, David, it's led to some unfortunate headlines, like the one where he was in Cumming, Georgia.
Sorry, what?
Santorum in Cumming.
Cumming, Georgia.
Yes, in Cumming, Georgia, yes. Chris in Atlanta sends his top 10 places Rick Santorum should not campaign. Mama, in the wake of the embarrassing headlines created by Rick Santorum's recent campaign stop and coming, Georgia, as a service to the Santorum campaign, I've listed the top 10 other places that Rick Santorum should not campaign in for fear of further X-rated headlines. Flushing, New York, Intercourse, Pennsylvania,
yeah. mm.
Booty Branch, Tennessee, Probe, Utah, Buttsville, New Jersey,
ooh.
Slick Poo, Idaho.
What?
I think he's making some of these up. Froth Hole, New York.
No.
Smack Ass Gap, North Carolina. Climax Springs, Missouri. Mud Butt, South Dakota. honorable mention, Anacock, Virginia. Okay. All right.
Wow. I'm guessing he made none of those up.
No.
They're
too helpers.
True to not be good.
All right. By the way, I love this in Politico. I was mentioning this earlier.
Shaftesbury, another place you
thank
should
thank you.
Shaftesbury.
experience.
Jim, things we say here as comedy sometimes come true the next day. We were saying that they're getting so desperate that we were thinking that Santorum or someone might just yell, "You're a Mormon! He's Mormon! Magic underpants!
He's
you know?
Not a Christian!"
Because he's already so God warrior.
He's not a Christian!
Rick Santorum's advisors heard this from Politico. Are frustrated by the focus on Santorum's Satan and good and evil comments without similar attention to Mitt Romney's faith.
Huh.
Given the current grilling of Santorum, that is a source of growing frustration to Santorum's advisors. Why isn't Mormonism off limits, S1? They did it. They
wow.
actually did it.
Let's not call our religion into question unless it's someone else's.
Yes.
Did you see that James Dobson actually basically endorsed Santorum yesterday?
No.
James Dobson is now encouraging his followers in Michigan and Arizona to vote for Santorum.
Yeah.
He's all about putting square pegs in round holes.
Yes. Some of the most entertaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show is Jim Ward in James Dobson's voice reading directly from James Dobson's website on how you de-gay your child.
Keep your kids from becoming gay.
Yes. But
you shower with your sons and rough house with them.
Seriously.
Do manly things, shove square pegs into round holes, and then you show them your penis.
Seriously?
Yes, in the shower.
Seriously, David, read his website.
These are quotes?
This is actual James Dobson quotes.
It's how to make your son man up.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So basically, he taught Marcus Bachman everything.
Yes!
That's where this comes from. Oh, coming
unit, busting out all over.
Andy in Madison on Santorum, not literally. Hi, Andy.
Hey, official guy from Wisconsin here.
Oh, so, awesome. We need one of those, yeah.
Yeah, Santorum is a mudslide mix and a communion wafer.
Okay. Ew, all right. Thank you. Thank you, official guy from, okay. All right. Mitt Romney in the man fight. It was man on man last night.
I was fighting to save the Olympics. You were fighting to save the bridge to nowhere.
Oh, boys, don't fight. It was both of you with government money, with evil socialist government money. Don't fight.
It's unbelievable to watch Mitt Romney. I mean, it's Mittpocracy.
Yes.
This is a guy who will, in fact, say anything to please an audience, and he does it every time out, no matter how bald-faced a lie. This is a guy who says, "I hate earmarks," having taken them. Santorum tried to call him out. Santorum is not, we were talking about this last night. Santorum is just not good at being tough. He's a nice guy. He's got the sweater vest. He seems to enjoy campaigning. Mitt Romney is, he may not be a dog strapped to a car, but he acts like one who has been. He is tough.
By the way,
in those moments,
did you see that interview, Jim? It made me sick as a fairly psychotic dog lover myself, as you know. Max and Fred just got groomed yesterday, and when Uncle David came over, they were so handsome, weren't they?
They were the handsomest boys ever.
Anyway, my point is, Mitt Romney actually said, "Oh, well, he loves it. He jumped up there himself." Oh my God, you're such a liar! Seriously, how does a dog jump into a crate on top of a car?
And remember, he was hosed down.
An Irish setter.
He was hosed down.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's like,
water.
I didn't know there was anything wrong with it. He really, believe me, he enjoyed it up there a great deal more than he would have in the car.
Sure.
He jumped up there himself.
Enjoyed it so much, he pooped all over the car.
Yeah.
And the dog ran away, it turns out.
Yeah.
The dog ran away.
Yeah, so much he loved it. Yeah.
So hopefully he had a better life in Canada, eh?
So
he's working on the pipeline now.
Stop it. All right. Rick Santorum and Mitt Romney last night.
You're entitled to your opinions, Mitch. You're not entitled to the...
I've heard that line before.
Misrepresent the facts, and you're misrepresenting the facts.
I've heard that line before.
You don't know what you're talking about.
I've heard that line before.
Yeah. Just go, yeah.
Well, at least my facts are the right height.
Everything else is so fresh in this primary.
But
I know.
Folks, if you ever find yourself in a debate with anybody, but Mitt Romney has learned to do one thing, which is you do interrupt your opponent.
Yeah.
And that's what Mitt Romney did every time. Everyone
no,
else
I didn't.
Was holding.
I did not.
There you go.
No,
exactly.
I didn't.
Exactly. Yes,
it's my time now. It's
yes,
my time
did.
Now. It's my time
and
now. It's my time. Excuse me. It's my time.
I'm sorry. I have this. I paid for this microphone, and he kept interrupting, and that is effective debating. If you do what Ron Paul did, Ron Paul kept holding up his hand.
Can I?
Yeah.
Can I say
is
something?
It my turn? And
I'm
Rick
still
Santorum
here.
Waiting, Newt Gingrich waiting. Mitt Romney actually took that, turned it on its ear, and looked aggressive. He looked tough, even if he said nothing that was true. He looked the part.
Yes, but all my interruptions are the right height.
There you go.
They're
I love
exactly the right
don't
length.
You?
How is your tree like a penis?
Can I just tell you, now the most entertaining part is not how inauthentic Mitt Romney is. It's how much more nuts it makes Chris Matthews every day. It's like, what? What's he even talking about? The tree's the right height. What? The guy's talking. I'm severely conservative. What the hell are you talking about, Mitt?
It could be worse. It could be blueberry pie.
It is. It's like balling in a blueberry pie every day. Okay, 17 minutes. Maybe back off the MSNBC a little bit. Maybe.
Mitt Romney got blueberry pie all over his face.
Okay. As we return the Bender on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
You know you got me. With your pistol, shot me. And I'm here helplessly in love and nothing can stop me.
No, don't fuck with
me. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. David Bender live in studio with us. David Brock, president of Media Matters, joins us next hour. David, of course, filling in for us all next week. We're taking an unexpectedly early vacation because of the huge breaking news that's happening to the Stephanie Miller Show in March.
We can't talk about it at all.
You don't even know what I'm talking about.
Although, I know that they've been talking a lot about getting a late entry into the Republican field.
Yes, that's it. That's okay, maybe speculation would be that I'm jumping into the Republican field.
You know, you've got
going
a great
back to my Republican roots.
Republican name, mm-hmm. solid name. There's no woman in the field.
There you go.
What do you think?
They're missing the Dippy Burnett.
You're going to fill the Sarah Palin, Michelle Bachmann
yes,
void.
Yes, much
Dippy
better Burnett
hair than Sarah
void.
Palin. Much better hair.
Well, that's because the gays love me.
The gays do love you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Look what the gays have done to me. Even under a baseball hat, you can tell my hair is fabulous.
Marcus does your hair, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Stephanie Miller.
Look what the homosexuals have done to me.
Speaking of which, yeah, we mentioned this. I love this story. We're going to, in fact, how much you want to bet this guy's a fan? I have to give him a ticket to Sexy Liberal Albuquerque, March 31st. New Mexico Governor Susana Martinez loses her hairstylist over gay marriage opposition.
Ah.
He and then a he. I'm just telling you, do not with the hairstylist or the lighting guys. Okay. Openly gay hairstylist in New Mexico is protesting Governor Susana Martinez, the Republicans' governor's opposition to same-sex marriage, but refusing to style her hair. Mm. This could make her crack. Trust me, chicks in our hair, you know.
Mm, look at the Louis Vuitton luggage under your eyes.
Antonio Darden, a popular stylist who runs Antonio's hair studio in Santa Fe, said he cut Martinez's hair 3 times but is now refusing to see his famous client. He said the governor's aides called not too long ago wanting another appointment to come in because of her stances and her views on this. I told her aides no.
You know, I think a reverse mohawk is a good look for you.
That might be another way back. Sure, I changed my mind. I'd be happy to see her. They called the next day asking if I changed my mind about the governor taking the governor in. I said no again.
Computer says
no. I can't work with you people because you're bastard people. And I hate your ass face.
Exactly. Oh, do not tick off the gays. David, I don't know if you saw. I think Marcus Bachmann, with a lot of free time in his hands, I think he punked Hillary Clinton. Did you see that picture?
No.
She was at the G20 and everybody in the photo op was wearing a white, you know, button something. And she was in chartreuse green. And the State Department said, no, we weren't told there was... I'm telling you, Marcus called. Mm-hmm.
She's very tired.
Chartreuse. Hillary there?
Not Fleming.
Okay, it was like a Bridget Jones thing. Everyone is wearing chartreuse green. Okay, bye.
Oh, poor Hillary.
Everyone's wearing bunny outfits. All right. In my mind, he sounds like Betty Rubble when he laughs. I don't know if that's true.
Thanks for asking. All things considered, I couldn't be better, I must say. I'm feeling super, no, nothing bugs me. Everything is super when you're, don't you think I look cute in this hat?
Yes. Okay.
And she's running for Congress again, you know.
I know.
We have not heard the last of Michelle and Marcus.
No.
They're back on the ground, and I hope people listening in Minnesota will take a moment to think about whether or not this is the race you want to get involved in, and maybe, just maybe, not let her go back to Congress.
Yes.
Wouldn't that be a nice
maybe.
Thing for the country?
People who don't vote for her will be disciplined.
Yes,
like the
barbarians
they are.
Mm. Oh, Penn in Nags Head, North Carolina. Did you actually hear the Romney? The trees are right high.
I did.
Love the lakes and wow, cool cars.
Nice. Cars.
Cars and I am okay.
Purple Mountains Majesty.
Mm-hmm. Romney's ramblings. Steph, Romney rambling on about the trees and lakes reminds me of Meet the Parents when Greg Ben Stiller has his first dinner with the future in-laws and talks about growing up on a farm until eventually he tops off his lies by insisting he used to milk cats. It is kind of like that. They just, you can't let Romney wing it. He just.
Oh, remember Romney
like his,
the Hunter?
It's like his head is full of, like, just packing peanuts. There's just nothing. I don't know.
You remember,
words.
You remember Romney the Hunter, right?
Yeah, varmints. Oh, my goodness.
Varmints.
I adore hunting myself. I mostly small. Varmints, really, mostly. Should I just keep talking? Okay. No, probably not.
No, please.
No,
shut
please.
Up, Ned, please.
Yeah. Yeah.
What sort of gun do you own, Mitt? A Remming Master.
Varmint Hunter.
Remming Furman Clark.
Gatling.
Yes, the Varmint Blaster 5000. Something. What is that? What cartoon is that? Yosemite Sam?
Yosemite Sam.
Varmints.
Yeah. Varmints? Ah, I hate varmints. Ooh, I hate them.
I know. He just comes up with words you've never even heard. Or just, you know, what is severely... Oh, by the way, the word...
Oh, I'm severely conservative.
Severely conservative.
Even, like, his... What was the question they asked last night? What would one word you would use to describe yourself?
Splurn.
Yes. Mitt Romney said splurn. That's right. What? No. He's... But he said something that, again, just...
It's probably a town in Utah.
I'll find what the word was, but it was completely, like, inauthentic again.
Newt said cheerful.
Yes, Newt said cheerful, sure. Yeah. That was a joke, I think. Uh-oh. It's hard to tell.
You see the panayotis, speaking of cheerful, did you see who Callista was sitting with?
Oh, Rick Perry.
Yes.
Really?
Oh, we'll
There's
talk about
a Ken
that.
And Barbie couple.
Yikes, when we get back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
That girl is nothing but trouble.
I mostly just encourage others to get in trouble.
Yeah.
I can't believe you just did that.
What?
So producer Chris frequently gets in Twitter fights with Dana Loesch, who we were just seeing on CNN, and he likes to just irritate her by calling her condescending sexist names, and so I said, I dare you to tweet her and say nice job on CNN just now, cupcake.
I did.
And you did it?
Yep, I did.
We are the most immature
she's
grouping of people.
She's checking your phone now.
Oh!
Yeah, I'm watching her right now. She's like, oh,
yeah.
I hate him.
I think she's blocked me, though, because I haven't heard back from her very recently. So.
What did you call her, sweetheart?
Yeah, I remember. Called her sweetheart. When
you were giving her, you were trying to get, because she's a newbie to radio.
Yeah. And
she's not all war horses like you and I. You're like, listen, sweetheart.
Sweetheart. You really, really, yeah. You need a better producer.
Oh, she does.
I think I did tell her that. And then she told me that my biceps were bigger than my brains.
All right.
So I'm like, okay, thanks.
Well, I think they're equally big. Okay,
angel cakes.
Oh, boy. And you know what? She doesn't need a producer. Just the soothing tone of her voice is all. That'll. She can coast on that in radio.
Larry! Nathan, shut up!
Oh, okay, I got it. David Bender, so the candidates were asked last night at the debate to say one word that describes them, and Mitt Romney went with resolute. Oh, please.
Yeah.
Mittens.
I looked it up in the dictionary. That word's exactly the right height.
Resolute, yeah. Sure.
Like his principles.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes, rock solid.
They don't move an iota.
He's actually said that because it makes it so. If he says it, he said, I don't think anyone could be more consistent than I am. I'm the most consistent human being ever.
I think you'll find that I've been as consistent as human beings can be.
Or so I'm told about human beings. I wouldn't know.
Sure. Columbus. Okay, Buddy in Columbus. Hi, Buddy.
Hey, Mama, two things. Yes. Number one is please everybody get to support our local progressive radio station, WVKO, this weekend. Come to the party.
And yahoo!
And the guys, you know, I met up a sexy liberal tour in Detroit. Come on down. It'll be a wonderful time.
Yahoo! All right.
You know, hey, we got to support the station, the sponsors. And the second thing
love
is,
us some WVKO. I will be in Phoenix this weekend for Sexy Liberal, but I will be there in spirit.
Well, we can do a grope of your butt in abstention or something.
Awesome. Hey, all right,
Mama,
go ahead.
And the second thing is, I think President Obama knows exactly what he's doing singing. He's making them back crap crazy.
Yeah, makes them nuts.
He busts out Sweet Home with Chicago, and the guy from Indiana goes, and those Girl Scouts, they're going to grow up and become lesbian witches and work at Planned Parenthood.
Yeah. Yeah, well the Planned Parenthood is manned entirely by lesbian witches, as you know.
Of course. Well known. Mm-hmm. Christine O'Donnell.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I'm you. I'm a lesbian witch.
Yeah. I think it's just unfortunate. You know why it is? Because we have Mitt Romney on tape with that horribly off-key, awful talk singing of America the Beautiful. And then, hello, you know, there's the president. Come on. Come on with it.
Yeah, it's a little pitchy, dog. But
that's not his first job.
I know. Yeah. And they sprung it on him. I mean, buddy
was
guy.
The first time I heard that. That was good. All the president?
Yes.
Well, except for the one BB King line there.
Yeah.
This is wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I mean, it wasn't as good as his I'm So
Al
In Love
Green.
With You.
No.
His Al Green.
But still in all.
Yeah,
but,
I mean, he wasn't expecting it to.
Right.
Kind of.
Yeah,
it was very cool.
And now
do we have Mitt Romney? Because it just, is,
can you see Mitt Romney up there with Mick Jagger and B.B. King?
God. Just for the sheer awkwardness. he's...
Buddy guy.
Yeah, it's amazing if you think Mitt Romney cannot appear any more inauthentic. It's that Rex Harrison, like, sing-talking and... kind of Vegas lounge singery, improvising, and
I loved Rex Harrison. I loved
to compare to him.
For spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountains' majesty above the fruited plain, America.
America. Oh. Yeah, I don't know. Go ahead, keep going.
He can
shed his grace on thee. And crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea.
Wait a minute, Chris. You just gave me an idea how to get those damn cats out of the bedroom. That gate's not going to be good enough after a while. I need a little speaker with Mitt Romney. All right.
They could use that at Guantanamo.
For Purple Mountains Majesty.
Oh,
they're just the right shade of purple.
Oh, yeah.
Above the fruited plain, just fruity enough.
God, it's just too much. All right, frothy at last night's debate.
Yes, Governor, you balanced the budget for 4 years. You have a constitutional requirement to balance the budget in 4 years. No great shakes. I'm all for it. I'd like to see it federally, but don't go around bragging about something you have to do. Michael Dukakis balanced the budget for 10 years. Does that make him qualified to be president of the United States? I don't think so.
Oh, snap. That was kind of a snap.
That was good.
That was his one big moment. And if you've got to go back to Michael Dukakis, 1988, in order to get a good moment, you're in trouble, Rick Santorum.
Yeah. But,
sir, are no Michael Dukakis.
Although he would look just as dorky in a helmet, because it would go over his hair helmet, you know. All right. By the by, Romney says he will make the top 1% pay more while proposing a plan giving them a massive new tax break.
Huh?
Mm-hmm. When Mitt Romney when he released his first tax reform plan last year, he asserted he was proposing no tax cuts for the rich. The claim blatantly false. Some may call it a lie. Some may load the liar cannon. Not me, certainly. The vast
sit on a throne of lies.
The vast majority of Romney's $6.6 trillion in tax cuts went to the wealthy, while it raised taxes on many middle-class families. Huh. Romney revealed his second tax reform plan in Arizona. Was it yesterday or a couple days ago? Again, he claimed he wasn't providing tax cuts to the wealthiest Americans. In fact, he said his plan would ask the top 1% to pay as much, maybe more, than they're currently contributing. What?
The question is, were you lying then? Are you lying now? Or are you not, in fact, a chronic and habitual liar?
Yes. I just love that last liar. That's why. According to preliminary analysis of the tax plan, though, Romney's assertions are as absurd as they were the first time. His tax plan contains budget-busting tax breaks for the richest Americans in the form of a permanent 20% across-the-board cut to marginal rates and a repeal of the alternative minimum tax, which prohibits the wealthy from artificially lowering their tax rates. The enormity of these tax cuts is mind-boggling, said one analyst. Even more unbelievable is how skewed they are to those at the very top of the income ladder. At a cost of more than $10.7 trillion, over the next decade, and reducing revenue to a paltry 15% of the GDP. Nicely done, Mittens. It's like George Bush to the 10th power. It's even worse, and there's no possible way he's going to balance the budget with this plan.
No, of course not. And this is now about my plan is bigger than your plan.
Yes. He knew I'm bushier.
He knew the president was going to come out with a plan. And, you know, it is so pitiful. It is so transparent. What we're seeing right now, and this is what's going to be interesting, the videotape that is being compiled during this Republican primary season, the people in Chicago are just sitting here doing, Chris, you're doing it every day. The clips that you're pulling, they're holding on to.
Yep.
And we're going to see each and every one of them all from September, October, November.
Yeah.
We're looking at Mitt Romney the way...
The montages are almost making themselves.
They are.
Mike and Raleigh just, and Shano, they just sit back and the montages magically make themselves.
So my only question is, will, like Bob Dole, who ran against an incumbent popular Democratic president, will Mitt Romney someday be doing Viagra commercials as well?
Ah,
that could be the future.
I'm stiff enough.
He's stiff all over.
There you go.
I'm sure by default that part is stiff too.
Qualified.
Michael in Philly. Hello, Mike.
Good afternoon. I think one of the biggest stories that potentially is going on here with this primary that's kind of going under the radar, which frightens me quite frankly, is that all of this backbiting and infighting that's going on in this primary, I almost wonder whether there's a section of the backroom Republican Party at the higher echelons that are thinking, with this brokered convention possibility and basically another candidate who's not even in the field now, essentially ending up being the nominee in August. Isn't this right out of the kind of Sarah Palin playbook of avoiding all media? And basically then, at that point, when we end up...
Yeah, you avoid all the messy debates and questions and...
Well, and quite frankly, it's frightening because it's almost like an ideological coup d'etat is what I would call it, because basically then you end up with these swing voters or these independents. You know, ultimately the candidate doesn't get vetted by the
Michael,
American
public. I was just going to say that's the best point, is that this is a party that says the president wasn't vetted when they vetted the bejesus out of him and everybody he's known for since he was three. Mm-hmm. And you're exactly right, Michael. This is going to be a way to completely have a completely unvetted candidate that hasn't had to have to go through. I mean, you don't think there's a lot of possibility of it.
If through some miracle, and I don't think after last night, the miracle that would have happened had Santorum done well last night might have been Michigan and or Arizona for Santorum, at which point, yes, people would have said maybe we need to look at 1,144 delegates. Romney doesn't even have 100 yet. We're a long way away from this. You can still get on the ballot in California. It's possible for somebody to come in late, get enough delegates just to keep anyone from getting a majority, and then, yes, could it be possible for Chris Christie, a Mitch Daniels, a Jeb Bush? Yes, it's possible.
Our favorite phrase in the Politico piece is that a candidate could be airlifted in at the last moment. And just the physical specter of that with Chris Christie is
our
favorite.
He's used a helicopter before, hasn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yes. We are here in Hollywood. We could get him the plane from Operation Dumbo Drop.
I'd go to Channel Islands to get one of the fire bombs.
And we were saying that could be another way to change the number of delegates you need, because he would crush several of the delegations.
Someone on CNN
with his entrance.
Someone on CNN actually said before the debate last night, Governor Christie is head, shoulders, and stomach above the others. And she said, and isn't it great he has a sense of humor about himself?
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, CNN's Piers Morgan asked him what he thought about Warren Buffett. Christie responded by saying he wasn't going to get into this class warfare business and told Buffett to write a check and shut up.
Write a check and shut up.
Friggin' check and shut up. Yeah, and he did already, in case you hadn't heard.
Well, write another check and then shut up again.
Can you write it? Can you write a check to Chris Christie and get him to shut up?
Yeah.
There you go.
Buffett told Time magazine he'd match dollar for dollar any voluntary contribution made by Republicans. He said, "I'll even go 3-for-1 with Mitch McConnell." But yeah, he just, you know, it's his Sopranos routine.
There we go.
Stuff
check and up. I just, I love his Soprano-ness.
Politics is a long game, and where are we now? We're in February. It's almost March. Almost March, but still a long time. And depending on what happens in the real world, like, I got to keep reminding people, and this is for people who are sexy liberals all over the country who are getting excited now. The president's numbers are up.
Right.
He's winning states. If the election were held today. By the way, it never is.
Right.
Yeah.
Then
just,
yes.
Why can we
good.
Dispense with that phrase in punditry?
Good
if
luck.
The election were held today. Well, if my aunt had a, she'd be my uncle.
CNN has a headline right now: Harry Truman holding up a newspaper. Dewey defeats Truman, and that is what people are saying right now. Obama would defeat anybody running against him, but that's not when the election is happening, folks.
Right.
So get out there, do this
By
work,
the way,
and don't get cocky.
As I was saying, it doesn't matter which Republican. They all have the same plan, speaking of which. Chris Christie unveiled a tax plan that would give 40% of its benefits to New Jersey's richest 1%. So it doesn't matter which one of them. They all have the same tax plan, essentially, right?
Absolutely. Just give it to our donors.
Yeah, exactly.
Sheldon Adelson, hello.
There you
bomb go. Iran.
47, bomb, bomb, bomb. It's another version of bomb, bomb, bomb. Yeah. 47 minutes after the hour. Right back with the Bender as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
See? We're having a nice time.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
This is way out of hand, like I'm so sure. What do you mean? Check the guest list again, Mr. Bouncer Head Muscle Man.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 52 minutes after the hour. Oh, it's Jim's favorite bump. This hour brought to you by GoToMyPC.com. Access your Mac or PC from anywhere, now even from your iPad, with GoToMyPC free for 45 days. Visit GoToMyPC.com. Click on that there. Try free button. Enter the promo code Stephanie. All right. David Bender, our political strategist extraordinaire, who drank. We forgot to think of a drinking game last night for the debate.
And what word did any of them repeat over and over again that would have been good for drinking?
Nothing. It was too boring.
Obamacare.
Yes.
And Romneycare. Romney actually called his own plan Romneycare.
I heard that.
How smart is that?
Yeah.
Good idea, Mitt.
Yes. Oh, this was a touche to Mitt, I suppose.
The reason we have Obamacare is because the senator you supported over Pat Toomey in Pennsylvania, Arlen Specter, the pro-choice senator of Pennsylvania that you supported and endorsed in a race over Pat Toomey, he voted for Obamacare. If you had not supported him, if we had said no to Arlen Specter, we would not have Obamacare.
Why I supported Arlen Specter, number one, because Arlen Specter was a senator who was going to be the chairman of the Judiciary Committee at a time when the most important issue that was coming up in the next session of Congress was 2 to 3 Supreme Court nominees.
Supporting Arlen Specter over Pat Toomey, that was a very tortuous route to support
just
a guy
as torturous
who's a pro-choice candidate.
Six years later,
by the way, in 1996,
let's move the conversation along.
Yikes.
Come on, John King, get control.
And indeed, again, Mitt Romney cut him off. What he didn't get a chance to say was that when you were governor of Massachusetts, Mitt Romney, you went hat in hand to Arlen Specter begging for money for your state. That's called an earmark.
And he
went to Arlen Specter because he said, I would be remiss. We need the money, and Arlen Specter controls it. Rick Santorum had everything teed up, and he whiffled the entire time. He just missed every pitch.
Yeah. You know what? Honestly, I think they're both equally pathetic. I really do. They're both
lucky us.
Mitt Romney.
Let's not forget that 4 years ago, well after Romneycare was put in place, 4 years ago, you not only endorsed me, you went to Laura Ingraham and said, and this is the guy who is really conservative and we can trust him.
Laura Ingraham's been bandied. Come on. See, that's how Can I tell you that is how right away our side is better? No most credible Democrat will ever go on television and say, as I said to Stephanie Miller, President Obama will never say, well, you know, when I was talking to Stephanie Miller. Yeah.
But what is the one line that you answer? You look him straight in the eye and you say, you know what, Mitt? Everyone is entitled to one mistake. I was wrong about you. You were never a conservative. You're not one now. You were not one then. You fooled me. You're not going to fool us again. Every time he had a setup, he just smiled.
Well, I was going to say, when Mitt Romney can make you look like a flip-flopper, you're having a bad night.
Yeah, a very bad night. Wow.
Because it's true on No Child Left Behind. He's like... Because he's been basically saying, oh, there should be no role for the government, state or federal government in education.
But I voted for it.
Yes, but I voted for No Child Left Behind. And he looked squirmy and just, well, you know, when you're on the team, sometimes you got to, that was a mistake, but I had
to. I was on George Bush's team. Notice he didn't say who the captain of the team
was. That guy,
remember, but we're on the team. And once you get into playing inside Washington baseball, which is what Santorum was doing.
Oh, he was an outsider even when he was inside.
Yeah.
Mm.
I'm an in-outsider.
Which is how you make sure that no one...
I have an innie and an outie.
Giving new meaning to the term contraception.
Yes. Yes. Oh, did Ron Paul get to talk? Yeah. I missed that. Okay.
We've got to restore America's promise in this country.
Oh, wait a minute.
Where people know that with hard work and education that they're going to be secure and prosperous and that their kids will have...
I wanted seven. Oh. I think we've already played that one. There we go. Ron Paul and John King last night.
Congressman Paul, you've questioned the fiscal conservative credentials of all these gentlemen, but particularly this week, Senator Santorum. You have a new television ad that labels him a fake. Why?
Because he's a fake.
Yeah, slam dunk.
Beautiful, beautiful. And I love that the word bromance has been spoken on the show this morning. Ron Paul and Mitt Romney have a bromance.
They do. God. But not the same Taylor.
No. Hey, look here. Did you see this? Gotta say, they only do the right thing when they're shamed into it. You know, when you look at Susan B. Komen, you know, backing down on the Planned Parenthood thing. So I don't know what's going to happen, but the headline is Virginia governor backs off state-sponsored rape ultrasound bill, promises to review measure. Hmm. So, I mean, I think that's the problem is when you literally, I think they were saying a lot of this too, when the comedians are in charge, it's a Saturday Night Live, Jon Stewart mocking this to the degree that they get shamed into going, this is too far.
Can be pushed back. And that's what we've seen. This is why the Scott Walker thing is so important. Because when you hold these people accountable, when you make them pay a price for these extreme things that they do, then they start getting scared.
Right.
Someone's got to do that to Chris Christie, the guy who has the temerity to veto marriage and then call the president a coward on marriage.
Yeah.
The president, done more good for the LGBT community than any president in history. Chris Christie goes all soprano on him.
Yeah. A new poll shows the majority in Virginia opposed the requirement. John Stewart on The Daily Show said this is like a TSA pat-down inside their vagina, contrasting McConnell's support for the measure in opposition to TSA pat-downs. I mean... You know, just the hypocrisy. David Bender, you have to leave us?
I do have to leave you, but we're going to have such fun in your absence. I'm going to trash this place.
Yeah, next week, David Bender in for us.
Oh, yeah, chairs through the window.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. David Brock, president of Media Matters, coming up in about a half an hour with his fabulous new book, The Fox Effect. Gotta read it. I've been reading some quotes from it all week. StephanieMiller.com is the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Warner, me, Stephanie Miller. Chris Lavoie to Phoenix on Friday. He will be opening up the Phoenix Sexy Liberal Show. We're very excited. Phoenix Sexy Liberal on Saturday.
And by opening up, I mean I'm just going to go up on stage and tell you to turn off your cell phones.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And flex. Flex for the folks. Wear something tight for mama and work it.
Oh, yeah.
Work it.
I can do that.
Yeah, that's it. Okay. And then, as we mentioned, we will be on vacation next week. David Bender filling in for us. We had to unexpectedly take our vacation early because...
Why?
Of something we can't talk about.
Let's just say March will be something very big
yep.
happening for the Stephanie Marsh.
Big, huge.
Yeah, right. Lisa and Bailey in Dayton, Ohio, coming to Chicago. Steph, my toothless redneck husband, decided to skip Valentine's and my birthday this last week, so I treated myself to Chicago Sexy Liberal tickets. Hello. My daughter, who told Newt he was a very bad man and very rude when she was just two, is coming with me. We can't wait to get our sexy on in Chicago.
You're a bad man. You're a very bad man. I'm going to wish you out in the cornfield.
Stephanie Miller Show toddlers are just precious. Oh, we started with our, you know, Charlie Rangel impersonator.
Charlie Rangel.
Brennan, our dump truck boy. Mm-hmm. What's that, Brennan? What? Hang on, we got that one.
Can you say George Bush is a dump truck?
The Bush is a dump truck.
Thank you, Brennan.
Oh, precocious toddlers and immature parents. It's my favorite combination. All right. So, hurry and go to sexyliberal.com, sexyliberal on Facebook. By the way, Chris in Yankton writes, Steph, I agree with producer Chris. Even if you don't get tickets to the meet and grow, the show's still awesome. Sheila and I had a great time at the one in Minneapolis last summer. Speaking of Minneapolis, here is the power of Aisha Tyler. She did one tweet the other day, and Minneapolis, I believe, is approaching sellout, so I'd hurry.
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour made Minneapolis one of their first stops on their wildly popular world tour.
Minnesota.
Stephanie and her sexy liberal players are coming back to the Twin Cities since the first time was so Minnesota nice.
They call me Minnesota nice.
On May 12th, the State Theater will host the triumphant return of the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, featuring movie, television, and radio personality John Fugelsang, actress, comedian, and co-host of The Talk, Aisha Tyler, and mama herself, Stephanie Miller.
You're darn tootin'.
Come on in.
Get your tickets online at Ticketmaster.com or by calling Ticketmaster at 1-800-745-3000. Minneapolis, Minnesota, join the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour at the State Theater on May 12th and go for another brilliant helping of sexy liberal sassiness.
Because
Stephanie Miller.
There's a lot of chutzpah.
All right. No, the most ridiculous thing ever.
What?
So, Phoenix Sexy Liberal Saturday, and then we have the following Saturday, Chicago.
Yes.
So I will be vacationing with Roland, Sexy Liberal Tour Director. We go on vacation together now. Yeah.
Wait a minute. Two incredibly high-strung people vacationing together?
Oh, wow.
That's not relaxing.
Nightmare.
Wow.
Somehow, I think it's going to work.
Really?
All right. Michael, this is... I haven't seen this one. It's a picture of a gynecologist with a woman's, legs up in the stirrups.
Yep.
And the caption is, I see the problem. You have Republicans in your vagina.
They want to be all up in your lady parts.
He and then the he. Yeah, but as David Bender was just saying, whether it's in Wisconsin with the recall, whether it's with Susan G. Komen, you know what? Sometimes people, you go around the country and people feel powerless, except when they realize that people power really does work. And we just mentioned, and we'll see what happens, but the Virginia governor, Transvaginal Bob, as we call him,
yes.
McDonald. This is the bill requiring women to undergo an invasive ultrasound before having an abortion. It's already sailed to Virginia Senate. Was to be signed into law by Transvaginal Bob once it cleared the House. But now he's backing away from his previous wholehearted support of the measure. His office has clarified he will review the bill.
Mm.
Oh, that's nice. Mm-hmm. A new poll, as I said, shows a majority in the state opposed the requirement. It has been spoofed by Saturday Night Live and The Daily Show because Jon Stewart, who's so great at pointing out hypocrisy, McDonald, of course, is opposed to TSA pat-downs because they're too invasive.
Right.
Yeah.
But an unwanted transvaginal probe is not apparent.
And as John said, this is like a TSA pat-down inside their vagina, which is,
well, it's
a little more invasive.
Well, it's the definition of rape,
basically.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. While the
state-sanctioned rape.
Yeah. By the way, and if you've seen the thing, hello. Not you guys, but the gals know what I'm talking about.
Oh, it can't be scarier than a tampon to a guy. Seriously.
No, it's... Never mind.
What?
I've been tempted to share really way too personal information around the story,
but
I won't.
You can't drop that bomb and run.
Well, if you haven't been... with men. You know, I'm just saying it's okay.
Hmm?
Okay.
What? That makes no
sense.
It's
big. It's a really large object. And it is very invasive. Okay, well...
Is it pointy?
While Virginia's governor is backing away from the invasive bill...
I can't
bill,
believe you just said that.
I can't either.
Oh, my God. Did you get that, Newsbusters?
What? Tight as a cat's ass. All right. While Virginia's governor is backing away from the invasive bill, legislators in Alabama and Pennsylvania are considering the same ultrasound policy. I'm telling you, it's invasive.
What,
okay.
Is it like a TV
pointy
camera? What?
It's big. Dean Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Stephanie, virgin caller here, so be gentle with me.
Okay. Three hours is too long to talk without saying things that you shouldn't. Go ahead, Dean.
My aunt is a right-winger, and she only votes on the abortion issue. And, oh, God, you wouldn't believe the crap she sends me. Well, I told her, I said, you know, you've been duped for the last 15 years. And she said, why? I said, because the Republicans had the House, the Senate, and the presidency, and nothing really ever changed substantially when it came to abortion. I said, so why are you continuing to vote for that? I said, why don't you start voting for poor people instead of voting for this abortion issue? I said, because the Republicans, like it just happened in Virginia, there's no way that guy could sign it into law because that would be the end of his career.
Right, right. So yeah, I know.
It's all smoke and mirrors with them. They're throwing it all up in for everyone. Oh, we're going to limit abortions. There's no way they're going to limit abortions because women will come out in droves and pound them to the pavement.
Well, also, it's a campaigning issue. It's a fundraising issue. If they keep holding out, we'll stop abortions any day now. Just keep sending us money.
Yeah,
of course they never do.
We'll keep cashing the check. Yeah, exactly, exactly. I mean, and plus, I literally every time I read Santorum's actual comments, I'm going, is he serious in 2012 that women shouldn't use contraception? I mean, just it's so. Even the words he used that it's dangerous for women. It's what?
Huh?
What?
Yeah.
What world is he living in?
I don't know. Rick Santorum said Tuesday he will defend everything I'm saying as 2008 comments he made about Satan having his sights on the United States drew renewed fire. He pledged to tell you the truth about what's going on in this country.
You know,
regarding Satan.
You know, it used to be fairly, almost routine for women to die in childbirth. Fortunately, it doesn't happen that much anymore, but childbirth is bad for women.
Oh, you mean because of advances like prenatal testing and things like that,
example.
Jim? Which sometimes prevents the death of the mother as well? Huh.
Stuff that Planned Parenthood does.
Yeah, Santorum said questioning whether he believed Satan was attacking America was not relevant. Oh, okay.
Then.
All right.
Well, then.
Okay. Rick Santorum.
I'm a person of faith. I believe in good and evil. I think if somehow or another, because you're a person of faith and you believe in good and evil as a disqualifier for president, we're going to have a very small pool of candidates who can run for president.
Yeah, well, you are not just... He's lunatic religious right fringe. Yeah. I'm sorry. I mean, this is...
We have proof that Satan is attacking America because there's a black man in the White House.
Oh, yeah. Like
98% of Catholics aren't as conservative as Rick Santorum.
I know. This stuff, thank God for Media Matters. President David Brock of Media Matters coming up in just a few minutes. But the stuff they suss out, I mean, because it's always a conspiracy, contraception edition, Media Matters writes. At the January 7th debate, remember that one? George Stephanopoulos asked Mitt Romney if he shared Rick Santorum's belief that states have the right to ban contraception. Romney mildly rebuked Stephanopoulos for the unusual topic that you're raising and said no, he does not share that belief. From that one question, a bizarrely intricate conspiracy has erupted and enraptured the conservative media. Allegations have sprung up that Stephanopoulos' question was coordinated with the White House as some sort of trap for the Republican candidates to fall into. But as Media Matters, which they're so good at, documents, Santorum was asked about states' right to ban contraceptives on January 2nd, 5 days before the debate, by ABC's Jake Tapper. He said the state has a right to do that. I've never questioned that the state has a right to do that. Prior to that, Santorum talked about contraception quite a bit. He told NBC News on December 29th that contraception leads to a lot of sexually transmitted diseases. It leads to a lot of unplanned pregnancies, and it's not a healthy thing for people to engage in, sex outside of marriage. He gave the interview in October in which he said, one of the things I will talk about that no president has talked about before is I think the dangers of contraception in this country. I mean, so he's the one that keeps bringing it up, and then they make it sound like, oh, well, that had to have been coordinated by the White House.
Obviously,
it's a gotcha.
Coordinating with the White House.
Like, every question is a gotcha question in this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, David Benner pointed out the stunning arrogance of Mitt Romney not answering the question last night and saying, you get to answer, ask the questions, but I get to answer what I want.
Fair enough.
I don't need to answer the question you asked.
We'll have to leave it there.
What? Well, that's just a whole new, that's a whole new thing for interviews, isn't it? I will just, it's a whole version of I'll dance to the music I hear. I'm not answering that question. Do we have that? I've got to hear that again. Yeah. Mitt Romney and John King last night at CNN.
We've got to restore America's promise in this country, where people know that with hard work and education that they're going to be secure and prosperous and that their kids will have a brighter future than they've had.
Yeah.
For that to happen, we're going to have dramatic fundamental change in Washington, D.C. We're going to have to create more jobs, have less debt, and shrink the size of government. I'm the only person in this race.
Is there a misconception about you? The question is a misconception.
You get to ask the questions you want. I get to give the answers I want. And
fair enough.
Fair enough.
Okay.
No,
well, really. You can just conduct the thing yourself then. I'm going to go to the bar.
Wow.
Yeah. So why was John King even there?
Yeah. Okay.
If Mitt was going to talk about what he wanted to talk about,
why were your own questions of yourself?
Answer the question you're hearing in your own head then. Okay. All right. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your human antidepressant. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Heavens. All right.
Yeah.
Megan in New York is backing me up. She said, I'm straight, and the thing, ultra-vaginal thing, scares me. Okay, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. Gina in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Gina.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
I have tickets for your show. My comment is that if Rick Santorum is against birth control for women, then he must love lesbians because they don't use any.
Right? We are God's perfect creation.
How about that?
I am doing my part. Why can't I get a little leaven, Rothy?
It's hard to accidentally fall on a turkey baster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That almost has to be deliberate. Oh, by the way, awesome. Chris is in a Twitter fight with Dana Loesch's husband now.
Yeah. I don't know.
I pushed him into this.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember that Chris Loesch, the lovely and talented Chris Loesch, who is Dana's...
Mrs. Dana Loesch.
Mr.
Dana Loesch. Oh, pardon Dana Loesch. Me. Mr. Dana Loesch.
He's the guy who used the N-word in a rap song at CPAC weeks ago.
Isn't that?
Yes, and he wrote to me and said, poor little fella, misogyny equals shortcomings.
It's a small joke.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, he deleted the other one.
Oh!
Well, holy cow.
Oh, goodness, he thought better of it?
Yes. Oh, God, I wish I could remember what it said. Well, okay. I wrote to him and said...
something about the mommy and daddy issues and something else.
I
can't remember.
Yeah, something like that. And I said, oh, so cute. The guy who used an N-word in his rap is protecting the little wilting flower. Bless your heart.
Okay.
If you'd like to let him know how you feel, His Twitter handle is at Chris Loesch. So there you go.
Okay. All right. What's not fun about good Twitter fights?
Nothing.
Wowee, looky here. Brent Bozell of, what is that right-wing whack? Oh, Media Research Center. Yes, to eliminate evil contraceptive and abortion services from their staff insurance plan.
Yeah. I think they head up Newsbusters. Newsbusters is an arm of Media Research Center.
Howdy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hi, Newsbusters.
Hello. They intend to alter the employee insurance plan at MRC so it will no longer offer contraceptive, sterilization, and abortifacient services.
Abortifacient?
Huh?
All right.
According to a staff-wide email that Bozell sent, he sent a memo to staffers stating he was horrified to learn that his organization's insurance policy, which is Blue Cross, covers abortion services.
Mm-hmm.
This is unbelievable. He said, the letter said it'll take some time to sort through the necessary paperwork and logistics of this policy change, but asked employees to refrain from using contraceptive /abortifacient /abortion services until then.
I didn't even know that was a word.
In the meantime, I have a simple plea I make. Do not avail yourselves of these contraception slash abortifacient slash abortion services.
A good way to ensure that there be lots of abortions is to not allow contraception.
Yes. They are evil, and I am unequivocal about this. Oh, wow. Yikes. That's got to be a delightful workplace.
Yeah.
No wonder they're so tense.
I found that. Newsbusters workers are really, really tense.
What do you mean?
Carl, and maybe they're a little backed
up. Shut up.
A little backed up. Carl in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Carl.
Hi, this is the official Norse mythologist of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Great.
Wow.
Awesome.
Thank Odin.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, since Santorum thinks it'd be okay to outlaw contraception, maybe we should go back to the old Viking way where you just leave unwanted babies outside in the forest.
Ah, there you go. There you go. Thank you. Hmm. Okay. Looky here. Pete Hoekstra, his Senate campaign is in free fall, looks like.
Aww.
Oh, gosh. Even then, that charming, ad with the Asian girl.
Yeah. With the broken English.
Yes.
Yes.
Talking
so clearly from California.
Yeah.
Talking about Debbie Spend It Now.
Mm-hmm.
That was so clever.
Yeah, that
the
worked.
The results of the new NBC News Marist poll. That backfired. Yeah,
yeah. I wonder how much they spent on that ad because they're not getting their money's worth.
Politico writes, if former U.S. Representative Pete Hoekstra becomes a Republican nominee for the U.S. Senate, how would he fare against Democrat incumbent Debbie Stabenow? 53% Stabenow, 32% Hoekstra. Mm. Oh, dear.
That's what's known as a landslide.
Mm-hmm. Yikes. And that's since the ad. It looks like he's...
The voters know love you long time.
Yeah. Oh.
Jim Louise Ward. Just when we had Newsbusters listening to us.
Exactly. All right. All right. Where's Newty? Oh, gosh. Is he still in it? Newty.
Yeah. I'm Newt Gingrich, and I want to report to you that if we unleash the American people, we can be at the beginning of an extraordinary era where we rebuild the America that we love.
Okay, I have to tell you that that was an actual Newt Gingrich ad,
yeah.
And he was really poorly lit, had no makeup on. They're out of money.
Wow.
They are out of money.
They couldn't find any makeup artists. Interesting.
It's just a flashlight. I'm Newt Gingrich.
I'm Newt Gingrich. I'm under my blanket with a flashlight.
Boo.
If you think this is bad, you should see Callista without makeup.
Okay.
All the money went to a hairspray budget. She was turning her head yesterday back and forth, and it was not moving. That hair was not moving.
No.
Could you hear the servo motors turning?
She looks like a hawk right the second before it catches a mouse or a varmint of some sort,
varmint.
Rabbit.
Yeah.
One of Mitt Romney's varmints that has escaped. All right. David Koch sat down for an interview with the Palm Beach Post, asked about his efforts to sway public opinion. He acknowledged his group is hard at work in places such as Wisconsin, where Governor Wanker is facing, of course, a recall. He said, we're helping him, as we should. We've gotten pretty good at this over the years. We spent a lot of money in Wisconsin. We're going to spend more. He plans to buy public support, possibly an election. He couldn't be happier about it. Thank
great.
You, Citizens United. Thanks for all that. 29 minutes after the hour, Media Matters President David Brock next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, listen, I just found out that you were...
Stephanie Miller.
And I just want to say, I think that was the most brilliant performance ever in the history of everything.
Why, thank you. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Oh, our scampy listeners. Greg writes, if Santorum says contraception hurts women, then you're putting it in wrong. All right, thank you for that tip. Greg.
Oh, boy.
All right. 34 minutes after the hour, very excited. We have all our friends from Media Matters on all the time, but not often do we get the president himself, the founder, David Brock. He has a new book out, which we've been quoting from all week, The Fox Effect, How Roger Ailes Turned a Network into a Propaganda Machine. Good morning, David.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thanks for being on. It's a pleasure to have you back. We were just quoting a piece of yours a few minutes ago. You guys are so good at, like, sussing out this. I think, it's the right-wing conspiracy about that George Stephanopoulos was a plant.
Yeah.
But coordinated by the White House to ask a gotcha contraception question, right? Yeah. That would have to be really a finely honed conspiracy, wouldn't it?
Right. Well, they're pretty good at weaving these, you know, far out conspiracy theories, that's for sure.
Yeah. So let's talk about the book. You know, it's funny. I mean, we say it all the time that, you know, clearly Fox News has become an arm of the Republican Party. But, you know, you really lay it out, which I had forgotten some things, that Roger Ailes actually didn't really have any experience in television. He was he consulted Richard Nixon, Ronald Reagan and George H.W. Bush, right?
That's right. You know, he has no background in journalism whatsoever, and we go back to his early days. You know, what's interesting, I think, is that he had an idea of putting the GOP on television going back to the early 1970s, and we show some memos that go back and forth when he was an advisor to Richard Nixon about doing something like this. And then they actually tried it in the early 70s. They had something called the Television News Incorporated that was funded by the Coors family, where they were trying to consciously put a Republican Party talking points, et cetera, on television. And that failed. But, you know, 30-something years later, he succeeded pretty spectacularly under the guise of a news network, running something that essentially now is like the Republican National Committee on steroids. It does a better job than the Republican National Committee. They're raising money on the air. They are clearly the echo chamber and the message. And, you know, the message part is kind of funny because we show in the book that we've traced a number of examples where they're taking their talking points on Fox from Republican press releases, from Republican websites, and just going with them verbatim, even down to the typographical errors.
Well, you document really well, sort of, as you say, you know, how it went from just a right-leaning news network to a full-throated partisan advocate for the Republican Party. I mean, the entertaining thing for me is I sense panic over there, don't you, over how in disarray clearly this Republican primary is.
Well, I think this is part of the irony of what Fox has created for the Republican Party, going back to their mobilization of the Tea Party protests in April of 2009, where they really they helped create these news events because they were promoting them so heavily before they even happened. And you've got people like Karl Rove, who are affiliated with Fox, who have argued that the Tea Party movement actually hurt them in 2010 in terms of keeping some of the picking up some Senate seats. And now I think you've got chaos in the Republican primaries, and this certainly has something to do with the fact that Fox gave a platform and were paying, you know, some of what you would consider to have been more extreme or fringe candidates. And now one of them is practically the front runner, Santorum, who was on the Fox News payroll and survived these years in the wilderness by being on Fox. You certainly had the Gingrich bump, and what we show in the book is we call the Fox primary, where you can trace how much airtime they're getting on Fox to actually the bump they're getting in the polls.
Right. Well, and so you have transcripts of leaked audio and memos from Fox News reporters and executives in the book, right?
Yes, absolutely. And that's where we show that this is intentional. You know, everybody makes mistakes, but there's an intentionality here to purposely misinform. And we've got some memos written by the Fox News chief in Washington, Bill Salmon, instructing the news staff. And so this isn't, you know, the phony argument they make that Hannity and O'Reilly are opinion and then you've got straight news through the day. That's not the case. These memos are instructing the news staff to, for example, every time talk about health care rather than talk about the public option, talk about the government option. And this comes from tested language that Frank Luntz did that showed if you use the word government, something's going to be less popular. And so they're trying to decrease the support for the health care bill. And in climate change, there's a memo that instructs them to introduce every time the subject comes up that there's no scientific consensus on the issue when in fact there is. Yeah. And so we've got that, and then we've got him nailed going on the air and lying. And admitting later on a fundraising cruise for a right-wing university in the Midwest that a few weeks before the election, he went out there and called Obama a socialist, and he tells the story later that he didn't even believe it himself. So we've got this guy going out there lying, and then everybody else on Fox picking up the socialist meme in those closing days of the campaign.
I think the seed of all evil, even within Fox News, is the Chiron department, don't you? Because that's what passes for journalism. They just ask, you know, the Fox question, as you know, just, you know, and that passes for, you know,
journalism.
Is the president's health care plan socialist? Like, you know, it's whatever, right?
Right. Those questions that they ask, absolutely.
Yeah. The screen captures are precious. Now, you know, one of the interesting things about going back on with Roger Ailes is, you know, we've been talking about this particular Republican primary, David, and saying, oh, my God, is this seriously the most racist, sexist, homophobic, you know, crew we've had? But you go back with Ailes and you talk about him using a homophobic slur to describe George H.W. Bush's clothing. He said, you can't wear a short sleeve shirt. You'll look like a f-ing. Two F words in a row, and the second one for gay man, right?
That's right. So, yeah, so one of the pieces of history there about Roger Ailes that we dug out is this use of, cultural wedge issues, the use of race, which he used, successfully with Nixon. He was involved with the Willie Horton dirty trick in 1988, and also a history of these anti-gay slurs. And so what we see with Fox today is the same type of thing. There's a lot of racial code used on the network. And they're using this to divide and polarize polarize their audience. It's pretty despicable. We saw it in the Shirley Sherrod incident. We see it with the phony voter fraud scams that they promote. That's all designed. There's all a racial subtext to all of that, including the many, many times they've brought up this birther issue, even though it's been asked and answered just as many times.
Yeah, exactly. This one I quoted this week because I was sort of stunned. When he was a Richard Nixon campaign consultant, he advised that a racist should be given a question at a town hall. And he said, as long as we got this extra spot open, a good, mean, Wallaceite cab driver, wouldn't that be great? Some guy to sit there and say, all right, Mac, what about these N-words?
Right. Absolutely right.
Yeah.
So there's a whole history there, and that is his background. That is who he is.
That's what we were saying. You know, it's always like you think, God, if this is what's on air, what do they talk like behind closed doors? And that's what this book does. It's like this, exactly the way you think they talk, right? I mean, because we were saying, I think in particular we're talking about the South Carolina primary. It's just, you go, they seem to be dispensing with dog whistles, practically.
Right. Absolutely. It's much more, upfront than that now.
David, how did you find all this stuff, particularly all these old, the quotes from when he was the Nixon aide and all of that?
Well, luckily, in putting together the Fox Effect, we've been able to use the resources of the staff here at Media Matters. The organization is kind of a co-author of the book. We spend a ton of time digging into all this all the time. It's much more than just doing the simple fact checks that we do. Some of these quotes, have been in the public domain, but they, nobody ever focused on them, I think, until we were able to tease them out and tell them as part of this broader story of how a guy who really had this killer instinct for using issues like race to divide people ends up at the head of a news network flying under the false flag of journalism and probably having more power now than he ever had advising presidential candidates.
Mm-hmm. Will you talk about the fact that there's been, ever since they got rid of Glenn Beck, this rumor that they're trying to do a course correction now, realizing how lunatic right fringe they've actually gone. Is there any truth to that?
Well, that's what they're saying. They are saying that there's a course correction going on and that there's some kind of a rebranding effort to look less extreme. So I think one point is the fact that Ailes feels like he has to say that publicly is interesting, and it does mean that they've gone too far. But are they really going to change their stripes? One of my favorite quotes in the book is from the FEC deposition during the Willie Horton investigation, where Ailes says he never tells the press what he's really going to do. And so I don't think we can take him at face value, and I don't know that they're necessarily going to actually change their stripes, but they're trying to create the perception that they are because they really took a hit with Glenn Beck.
Well, I was just going to say, wasn't that more just business? I mean, you can't really stay in business when you lose that many sponsors. I mean, the fact that, Beck just said so many incredibly outrageous things. I mean, did you know what I'm saying? Was that deliberate as a course correction, do you think?
Sure. Well, I think it was yes, and I think it was only that their hand was forced by the market. I think you're absolutely right. I think they would have been certainly content to have him continue to be featured on the cover of Time magazine, et cetera, if they were getting the revenue that they wanted out of the show. That was a business decision, and now we're going to see they've got some Glenn Beck wannabes on the air, like Eric Bolling, who made a racist comment last week and uses race all the time, and so we'll see if they're able to really correct course, or whether they really need to do these things to maintain their market share.
Yeah, don't you love, though, that all of Ailes' horses and all of Ailes' men can't prop up this Republican field?
Yeah. Right. I mean, it's complete chaos, and it shows that, you know, he may be a great showman, Roger Ailes, but maybe he's not the most brilliant political strategist in the world.
Exactly. The book is The Fox Effect, How Roger Ailes Turned a Network into a Propaganda Machine. David Brooks, president of Media Matters. David Brock, president of Media Matters. David, always a pleasure. Great book, and great to talk to you again.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
There he goes, David Brock.
Yay!
Original book, awesome, Blinded by the Right. Mm-hmm. 45 minutes after the hour, back with remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm kind of known for having a twisted sense of humor.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Will we have a partially Fugle saying in Friday tomorrow?
Partially.
Yes.
Yes, he is in Florida where we don't have a studio, so he'll be calling in for about a half an hour.
All right. Listen, it's better than a Fugle saying in free Friday. That
sure.
Would be, forget about it.
Also, we're also going to have columnist Tina Dupuy of Crooks and Liars
cool.
on tomorrow.
She's hilarious.
She is. I love her.
All right, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. This hour brought to you by Solar World. They've been making solar panels right here in America since 1975. Please go to solarworld.com, won't you? Find out more about the leader in American solar. Oh, by the way, we were talking about this. In his opening statement at the CNN debate, Romney said, I want to restore America's promise, and I'm going to do that, prompting immediate applause from the audience. Wow, what an easy crowd.
Yeah. Well.
And so then, instead of continuing, he stopped mid-sentence and said, that's good enough. As George Costanza would say, they're applauding, stop, right? He's just the most awkward man in the mm-hmm. world. And well, how did I know this would happen? Our good friend Jason Alexander had some thoughts on that. Noted liberal and Stephanie Miller Show fan
yes.
and guest. He wrote, thrilled Governor Romney enjoys my old character. I enjoyed the character he used to be.
Yeah.
If he'd embrace that again, he'd be a great candidate. Hi. Oh, George Costanza. You are a panic.
As George Costanza would say, there was significant shrinkage. I don't know what that means.
In his poll,
I
there
think
was.
It means it's not the right height.
That was the quote he should have used.
Right.
Like George Costanza, he's had significant shrinkage in his poll. During the Santorum surge. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hello now.
It used to be the right height. I don't know what happened.
No, it's not the right height, like the trees in Michigan. All right. The President's Carney on the corporate tax overhaul.
There's a fair amount of consensus that simplifying the corporate tax code is a good idea, that broadening the base and lowering the rate is a good idea. President's put forward a proposal that does that, and we hope that conversation continues and that we can produce a result for the American people and for American businesses that will create the result of a lower tax rate for American businesses that will make them more competitive, a broader base to ensure that this reform doesn't add a dime to the deficit.
Yeah, would you
lower
like
tax rate? That's
what?
Communism.
Oh wait. You like that? I forgot.
Would you like the fun facts about the Obama administration's corporate tax overhaul?
Sure.
Come on. Learning can be fun, kids.
Reading is fundamental.
Yes.
Huh?
The Obama administration unveiling the overhaul of its corporate tax code, proposing to lower the top corporate income tax rate while eliminating a host of deductions and loopholes. Because as we've said over and over again, that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
They're not paying their fair share because there's, as you know, a million deduction loopholes, you know.
And stuff.
Yeah. They're proposing a top corporate income tax rate of 28%, lowered from its current 35%. The top tax rate for domestic manufacturers would be 25%. The plan would implement a minimum tax on overseas profits. The minimum tax would limit the ability of corporations to exploit low tax havens like the Cayman Islands. Nit. The plan would pay for the rate reduction by eliminating credits, loopholes, and deductions, including those for oil and gas industries. Obama's budget already proposed eliminating 12 tax breaks to oil, gas, and coal companies, saving $41 billion over 10 years. The plan would raise between $200 and $300 billion, depending on what baseline is used. The U.S. already, by FYI, GTK, already has the second lowest effective corporate tax rate in the world and is raising historically low amounts of revenue from the corporate tax income. In fact, the corporate tax revenue is at a 40-year low.
Yep. So this all sounds perfectly reasonable, which is why the Republicans will hate it.
Yes, the president's carny again.
He believes that this is an area where an opportunity exists, an opportunity to disprove the conventional wisdom that nothing can get done in an election year between a White House held by one party and a Congress largely controlled by the other.
Hmm. All right, a little celebrity stack before we go. Why does this story just seem like all kinds of wrong on so many levels?
Okay.
I'm still in my Whitney Houston obsession period.
Right.
David Guest says Whitney Houston wanted to marry Michael Jackson.
Let's
pause and digest the layers of that. David Guest, who was married to Liza Minnelli.
Sure.
Someone had to be.
Sure. He says that Whitney Houston really wanted to marry Michael Jackson. He believes Whitney would have liked to get together with him, but he was too shy to make a move on her. Right. That's it.
Yeah, okay.
Michael told me they once shared a passionate kiss. Right. And she told me that she was one time very much in love with him. Much like that passionate kiss he shared with, what was it, Lisa Marie Presley. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was passionate.
Later, he confessed to me that he should have made every move. If they'd gotten together, I believe Whitney would not have done drugs.
Like David Guest misses being in the tabloids, and so he had to say something.
Could she have had worse taste after Bobby Brown? Maybe. Really? I don't. Okay.
Yeah, that sounded all kinds of...
Look at me. Pay attention to me. Look at my Shirley Temple doll collection. Yeah,
that's what that was.
Mm-hmm.
And you fell into the trap.
I did. I couldn't. I was mesmerized by that story. As I am by this one, because he's the only man that's flipped me off live on national television. Ted Nugent. Not Pat Buchanan. Ted Nugent stands with Pat Buchanan. In his latest column, he criticized MSNBC in response to Pat Buchanan's announcement he has departed the network. According to Nugent, Buchanan was fired by MSNBC for doing nothing more than voicing his rock-solid conservative thoughts. Nugent also criticized leftists for using anti-American guerrilla warfare tactics by attempting to silence conservatives, adding their real messages, intolerance, zealotry, bigotry, and hate. So I see we're the bigots for thinking that Pat Buchanan saying, stuff like black people should thank us for the nice boat ride to America, stuff like that.
Whatever.
That was the racist part, and... I see. We're the bigots because we're anti.
You know, Laura Ingraham is fond of telling people, entertainers to just shut up and sing.
Yes.
Funny she doesn't say that about Ted Nugent.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Funny that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Adele news. You know, I don't know. I've kind of moved on after.
I hear she wanted to marry Michael Jackson, according to David Guest. But, you know.
Okay. I've moved on. I'm doing Adele. Even though she beat me for Best New Tour, she beat Sexy Liberal. It's okay. I only wish the best for her now.
Oh, we have some breaking news out of the chat room.
Yes,
Nate Ocean, who is in the chat room every day, is the one with the frothy Santorum sign.
We love you, Nate.
In Mesa.
We love you, Nate. It got on CNN last night, the frothy Santorum sign, and I knew it was one of my people.
And it was Nate Ocean from the chat room.
Thank you, Nate.
Adele
flipped off the Brit Award boss. A lot of middle fingers these days.
Yeah.
Because I guess they cut her off at the Brit Awards, or I don't know.
Yeah. The orchestra played, and she got the hook.
On.
Yeah. This does not seem wise. She has applied for a helicopter landing license.
What?
Adele has?
Yes.
Why?
She's tired of dealing with traffic. Yeah, me too. I live in L.A.
You can get a license just for landing a helicopter? Not any other flight operations? That seems unwise. You have to get it airborne first.
I
want to
be able to fly the helicopter that airlifts Chris Christie in the brokered Republican convention.
Better be a twin rotor.
Why not? I'm a helper. Helper. That's it for us. We will see you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.